I learned so much from it. And I also thought, I'm never going back to just being an actress again. I'm never going back. I'm now a creator.
Welcome to the Laura Clary Podcast. It's a podcast with Laura Clary. Welcome to the Laura Clary Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to the Laura Clary Podcast.
Hello.
So we're just talking about, we posted a video today and it did actually really, really well. But it's annoying because we cut together these 3-minute videos and then you, for Facebook, but then I want to share them with my Instagram audience, but I don't have the capability to do that. So it's just a frustrating thing. So I end up cutting just a little segment of the episode. And then I feel like people don't get to appreciate the full thing. And that's really frustrating for me, that they don't get to experience the whole episode because I can only post a certain amount on Instagram. So I posted that small clip of the bigger episode.
I'm going to start calling it Instagram with an N.
Why?
I don't know. I just feel like...
But what I was trying to say to you, Stephen, is that it's doing pretty well. There's no negative comments. I think people are going to be like... I had this fear that people were going to be like, fuck you, you're so fucking annoying.
Ah! Wait, but you didn't want to post it because we got the lyrics wrong. But I thought the lyrics were right. In the subtitles, but you
this, the guy who subtitles our videos wrote the wrong lyrics for the song. There's a song in part of the sketch, and that also bothered. That was also one of the reasons why. Yes,
but I thought that was the right lyrics.
Yeah,
misheard lyrics. It's funny, isn't it, when you mishear lyrics?
Yeah, did we do that joke already?
No.
No.
What is it?
No, I'm saying that's a good joke.
It is, right?
That's a good, like. It's such a common thing.
What lyrics did you miss here when you were a kid?
So, I think worst one is, don't go chasing waterfalls. Stick to the rivers and the lakes that you used to. I literally thought it was, don't go Jason Waterfalls. I didn't know who Jason Waterfalls was, but I thought they were singing, don't go Jason Waterfalls. Yeah.
One of my friends used to think it
Can we just acknowledge how crazy that is?
That is crazy, but check this out. One of my friends thought it was, who are you going to call? Ray Butler.
What?
Ghostbusters.
Are you going to call? No, I know.
Ghostbusters.
Ray Butler?
Ray Butler.
Why Ray?
I don't know.
Did you ever have any?
Yes, I'm really trying to think of them now.
How about... I'm blue. If I was green, I would die.
But I think that's the lyrics.
It is.
I think.
So you also think it's, I'm blue. If I was green, I would die. If I was green,
no, I didn't I used to, die. But you
if
convinced
I was green,
me.
I would die.
You convinced me though with
I'm
the lyrics.
I'm blue. If I was green, I would die. If I was green,
no, it's not that.
I would
it's
die.
Not that.
If I was green, I would die.
It's I'm blue. Ever die, ever die.
If I was green, I would die.
I don't think that's it.
That's what I thought it was. Oliver, stop.
How funny was Alan trying to get Eve to look at his video? Hello, Alan, if you're listening, by the way. We love you.
Alan,
but it was really funny.
Alan is a shameless self-promoter. We just had him in our potato video that, by the way, I just want to say real quick, I was the only one that thought singing a song about potatoes was a good idea.
True.
Steven's like, I just don't get
it.
I mean, a song about potatoes.
Still
is
don't
that,
necessarily
is that
get it.
It?
Yeah.
Is that what else are you going to sing about? Is that it? Yeah, Steven, that's it.
Well,
song about... 40 million views later, in just two days, 40 million other people thought, yeah man, I want to get that. But if I also am honest, it's your genius music production.
Well, thank you. I don't know if that's the reason.
No. If I was just singing potatoes, it would not. The magic of it is that the production behind the music. That's, I think, the secret sauce.
The secret sauce is...
my fucking idea about potato.
But it's not just that. It's the production involved in the whole video, I think. The fact that we went so... we got a makeup girl, a hair girl. We got two actors. We got a DP.
We got an assistant to get us loads of potatoes.
Yes.
And then threw French fries at everyone. And like, so I think it's like, that sort of absurd thing of they went to great lengths to produce this video and this song about potatoes. And so to me, that's really funny. Now, if it was just like me in a room singing a song about potatoes, it's like, okay, it's a girl having fun singing about potatoes, meh. But to involve a team to create this video and to make it aesthetically look good, and then also musically sound good,
it's our responsibility if we can put a massive production behind this crazy idea. It's our responsibility to do it, because no who else is going to do it. No one's going to put anything else like that out into the world. Well, only we would do
that. I suppose you've seen videos here and there, like peel the avocado.
Yeah, but that was a low budget. Well, this was low budget too.
Guacamole. That was a lady in a green screen, but it absolutely had lighting and it absolutely had...
But it wasn't the whole thing. That's a little snippet of a much bigger video for kids. All these videos you're talking about
are like actual TV shows.
Yeah, they've isolated a little bit, whereas we just make the little bit.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing.
But it's actually not crazy.
Not nowadays, no.
It's not crazy because we are reaching more people than like a kids show that's 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I often wonder... What that avocado song? Who's the little boy who goes, "Hi, you're my friend"? So I want to see that show.
That's like a 1980s, late '80s, early '90s kids show, and I don't know what that kid show is.
Don't you want to know? I'm desperate to know.
No, I don't.
I want to know what comes before it and after it.
It's like this little boy who's just fucking weird as shit, and everyone started making memes about him because he's like, "You're my special friend."
Yes.
And he just is, it's just a kid's show, but he's just, there's like, he like stares at the camera. He's like, "Come with me, special friend."
I want to know what he's doing now.
Well, I think they actually found him.
They did?
I think so. There's like a couple of those meme people. Yes, they where found like they find yes. him.
I then, love it. There's a YouTube. Yeah. There's a YouTube where they found people that are in memes.
Right.
And it's really, really funny.
Yeah.
They found the little boy who's eating a lemon.
Right.
They found. You know, South Park did a documentary. They did a show about all the meme, all the original YouTube viral videos, and they got the original YouTubers to do the voices of themselves.
I'm so sorry. Our dog was like dying of thirst. Say that again.
Like
sorry.
South Park did a YouTube, did a show about YouTube years ago. They're like, "Oh, these guys just do like Star Wars things, and then they become really famous." Uh-huh. And they had like six viral stars. That the show was about six viral people that had gone viral, and the cool thing about South Park is they got the actual people to play themselves in the show.
Oh, to play the animated.
Even if they didn't have any lines, like the zhoo zhoo sound that the guy was making. He came into South Park and did this zhoo zhoo sound.
Oh, that's fun.
So that was cool, but that was years ago. That was 10 years ago.
They're like such an inspiration to us, you guys.
Oh yeah,
the Matt Stone and
Trey Parker. Absolutely.
Like their dynamic and just, well, the way that they work and can make, I just have managed to make a fucking 22 minute animation in a week. Like, I mean, that's crazy. And every week they turn out a new one, right? Am I crazy?
They do. Yeah. And they're totally, I mean, they've got people, but they're totally self-contained. It all happens in that one office.
And I love that, like, the writer's room is small and like, they just push boundaries in such a way that's so incredible.
Yeah, that was really... That documentary is amazing.
And they seem to have a good head on their shoulders. Yeah. Like they both have families. Yeah, and, definitely. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's definitely inspiring. To have like this cast of characters, same with Family Guy, that you could just grow with. And, yeah. And I really, really want that to be the Horvaths. I really want a female Family Guy for them and to just be able to grow with them for years.
Tell you something, though, it's bloody hard work trying to get animation off the ground. Jesus H. Christ.
But I disagree. Like,
really?
Yes. What bloody hard work have
we've
you
been trying for a year to do an animation?
No. I just don't. I think that's bullshit. I don't. I think it's a timing thing. I don't think it's bloody hard work. I really don't believe that. Okay. I think that it's going to happen so easily exactly when it should.
Yes.
Because all we've been doing, in my eyes, is growing the filtered show.
Oh, that's
to a spectacular amount.
Incredible, yeah.
And it's going to continue growing until Netflix or Facebook Premium can't say no to our request to, or, you know, a studio, whatever. It's going to get so successful that they can't turn down
funding. It seems like that's the way you have to go. You just have to blow it up yourself, and then, but the thing is that
and it's gonna happen easily.
It's just
when it should.
It's the reason that I think it's hard to get an animation made is because it's so expensive, and I can't believe there's not apps to do an animation.
But I just don't, because first of all, we got a guy to do it.
Yeah,
us.
He killed it, but it took him 2 months.
Because he's one 23-year-old who had never...
He killed it,
He had never animated more than one character in a shot, and we made him do a road trip episode where there's five animated characters in a car in a moving vehicle. So I asked him, I wrote the script, I said, hey, is there an easier episode for you to animate? He was like, no, I can do it. And so he said he could do it. And it took him a couple months because he's one guy. He's working full time.
Poor guy. I think he really regretted.
And he's going to school.
He was, yeah. I think he regretted saying yes to the four characters in the moving car at some point.
I just don't see this as you know... Like, oh, it's impossible.
I didn't say it's impossible. Like, I said it's work.
But what is work about it? It's not. It's like...
Packaging it and making it happen. It is. You can say positive things all you like, but it is hard work. It is.
But how is it hard work for you?
It's not hard,
you're not,
physical graft.
But it's your... But that's what I want to know. How is it hard work for you?
Emotionally, getting attached to an idea that's going to happen and then something doesn't happen and it falls apart, or someone can't do it, or this person's out of this, or that person doesn't do this, or... And then there's so many moving parts to get together. And it is emotionally taxing for me because I take it, I really do emotionally. I believe in the show so much.
All right.
And I really feel like it's our biggest, it's our most global idea. And I think what's work for me is going through the disappointment of having it not be easy.
So then I think that we have a different definition of what hard work is. You're meaning hard work in like your emotional state.
Yes. Oh, no, I don't mean like work on the actual project.
Right.
No, I mean the emotional. I find it quite emotional when the ups and downs of like, oh, this going to, oh, no, oh, this, that, the emotional roller coaster of the Horvath animation.
I find it
is quite hard work, but it's also very exhilarating and very exciting.
But okay, got it. See, I'm...
That's an English expression,
yes,
I think. It's hard work,
see,
means
that's
it's...
That's so funny, this big, like...
Yes. Oh, no, this, that's...
Yeah, because
like,
to me,
in
it's
England,
like... I'm like,
no,
well, what are
no,
you
no,
doing
no.
every day
no,
to make
no,
it
no,
happen?
No, no, no,
no,
we're not, no, 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 we're not. We're not. No, 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 no,
no.
I don't mean that.
It's like, it's going to happen as it should. We have, you know, and to just trust that. And like, too, like, you had great ideas, like... Hey, Titmouse is a great animation studio.
Yeah.
So what I do is I reach out to my manager and I say, hey, can you get us a meeting with Titmouse? Then my manager gets us a meeting with Titmouse. And then Titmouse says, hey, yeah, we want to attach ourselves, but we want to own 50% of it. And then my manager says, well, is that a good idea, Laura? Do you want to give away 50% ownership for this studio? Well, they're creating the world, they're animating it, but we created the characters, so we think it seems fair. It's not enough to just have an animation studio attached. You also have to have a showrunner if you want to sell it to a place like Netflix or Hulu, because they want to know that you have someone who's made an animation, who knows how to run a show, or they're not going to give you millions of dollars.
For our audience, what is a showrunner?
So a showrunner is like the boss. They oversee every creative aspect of the production. They basically make all the decisions. They're like, I think they're even like above the director.
Right.
Or they...
Because it's confusing, because on a film, the director's the top dog, but on a TV show, it's the showrunner who's the top dog.
Yeah, the showrunner, yeah.
It's very confusing for someone
They like very literally run the show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting.
So, like, Lena Dunham was the director of Girls and the showrunner.
Yes.
So you can do that. A lot of creators are showrunners.
You don't have a showrunner on a film. Because I come from films. I've only ever worked on films. And for me, I'd never heard of a showrunner until we started trying to get programs made. And I was like, that sounds like a... But like someone that makes sure everyone's in the office on time or something, but it's not.
But
it's
much
bigger. It's that as well. There's a Netflix show. A Netflix show about
it. So here is the person who has overall creative authority and management responsibility for a television program.
Whoa, that's huge.
The vision of the show as a whole does not come from the freelance or even the staff writer, but from the showrunner.
Jeez. Well, then that should be you, shouldn't it?
You would think. And I've said, guys, I want to be the showrunner. Yeah. And they're like, no, Laura, it's too much for you to do.
I don't think it is too much for you to do.
A showrunner typically has creative control of a TV series production through combining the responsibilities of the head writer, executive producer, and script editor. In films, directors typically have creative control of production.
Yeah.
But in television, the showrunner outranks the director.
Yeah. So when I was hearing about showrunners, I was like, why is no one ever talking about a director? The director's the main one.
Right.
But now I realize that's not the case on television shows.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Wait, so who's the showrunner on the Pamela Popkins show? You? Probably.
No, we don't have one yet.
Oh, we're going to get
So one. We have like Jax is the production company. So they're producing the show.
Yes.
Along with Idiots Inc., which is our production company.
Hooray!
And then we don't have a showrunner right now.
No one's mentioned it. So maybe it is going to be you.
I don't think so.
I feel like a showrunner is something you could do alongside someone else helping you out. But maybe we need to work with someone.
No, I think so. So being a showrunner is basically like babysitting versus parenting. Bravo's Odd Mom Out co-showrunner Julie Roddenberg told us. Because suddenly the baby is yours. You can't just leave at 6 o'clock when it's time. And you're pretty much responsible for every aspect of the show. Most showrunners start out as writers, and she said she thinks it's a bit of a miracle that anyone fits the job description. She said, I find it amazing that writers who are often not well suited for managerial roles are the people who wind up running things.
Right, yeah, it's a different skill set, you'd think.
Totally. And that is why they were like, no, Laura, you don't
want to
do that.
Right. I see.
Who knows, though? Down the road, I would like to do it. But it does feel like I'd be happy just directing a couple episodes and writing it and starring in it. Because even even when I did the Comedy Central series and I wrote, directed, and played all of the characters.
No showrunner on that either.
No, but like it was a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and I did it, but...
But that producer was great on that. I thought she was really good.
Yes, totally.
She was a little bit scary, which was good to have on set.
I love what Quentin Tarantino says, like, you just hire really great people all around. You just hire a great DP and a great wardrobe and makeup and a great producer. And you just hire this team and that everyone knows what they're doing and they're so good that you just trust them, and you don't have to be an expert at every single aspect of the production. You just have to hire correctly.
Right.
And great actors, same thing.
Yeah.
Because it's tough when you, like, I've even experienced that where I've worked with actors who I didn't audition or I thought could, and then you get on set and it's like, oh, fuck, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
What happens then?
You just have to make it work.
Right. Just keep doing it over and over again.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a lost fucking cause. Yeah.
And then what happens?
And then you can cut that bit out.
Right.
Or you can turn in something shitty. Yeah.
That's funny.
But it's good that I've experienced all that stuff early on. So, like, it's not a career ruiner.
No.
You know?
No, I feel like you've done a few shows up until now, which have really prepared you for this upcoming thing with Pamela. Like, the stuff you learned on Hungry, I think is going to be very valuable on this new series.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Because that was a big crew and all that. Like, this is going to be...
Yeah, and that, it was, that really pissed me off because I felt that I had, for being a co-creator and writer and star of that show, and for those of you who don't know, this was a series I did with a girl named Portia Thomas, and she and I met on a commercial shoot, and we were playing runway models for this Capital One commercial, and she's beautiful, and she was funny, and I was an auditioning actress at the time, and she and I were sitting there on set, and she turned to me and she was like, so, like, you do comedy stuff? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, yeah, I do stand up. And I was like, no way. And because I was like, oh, models don't do stand up. I'm not a model. I'm just tall and lanky. So they hired me for this commercial.
You didn't want to even do the audition. You just want to say a little guy here is responsible for you going into
that.
That's
crazy. Yeah. So, like, actually, that's so funny, Stephen. Right. I forgot that. So yeah, Stephen and I were like, I think we were like dating at the time. No,
we were dating.
We were married or dating?
We were dating.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I even remember I was doing a film. It was 2011. Oh, I remember the film. So yeah, it was 2011. Holy the year shit. Before we got married.
Wow. Okay. So Stephen and I, okay, so I had like, I was so over auditioning. I had been doing auditioning for so many years and I was just so fucking sick of going on countless auditions and being told no, 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 no. And I just, some days, I just couldn't bring myself to do it. But so I didn't tell Steven that I had an audition, and my hair was all like crazy and big and curly, and I had like no makeup on and some weird outfit. And we're driving, and we had just gotten lunch, and I don't know how it came up, but I think like Steven was like, wait, do you have an audition today?
I did, yeah, because you didn't mention it.
Yeah, I didn't mention it.
But you'd mentioned it the week before.
No, or the day before. I was like, oh, I have an audition tomorrow. And then I made up my mind that the next morning, oh, I'm not going to go. Fuck this shit. I'm so over this. They want a runway model for Capital One. There's so many prettier girls in this town that will get it, that are actually models, that know how to walk down a runway. I can't even walk in fucking heels. I'm not even going on this bullshit audition. Fuck this shit. And so I decided that in the morning, and then Steven remembers. It's like 1 p.m. and Steven turns to me, we're driving, and he was like, don't you have an audition today? And I was like, huh? And he was like, Laura.
Yes.
And I feel like I don't feel like I got in trouble, but I remember feeling like I got in trouble. Like, I know you're not my dad, no, but I did feel like, I felt like you were like, Laura, you're going now.
Well, I feel like at that time when we were together, you struggled with motivation, and you were getting depressed, and you were getting, you could talk yourself out of doing that. And I didn't like to see you in that state. So I was like, I was trying to encourage you to go and do it.
Yes. And you like fucking drove me there.
I did.
You were like, and I was like, Steven, I was like, my makeup's not done. My hair is fucking crazy. They want heels. I'm in Keds. Like, I'm not ready for this, nor will I get it. And he's like, just go. And like, dropped me off and like parked outside, and
I waited for you
and
as well.
Guess what, there's these stunning runway models walking up to this casting place. It was at LA Casting off Sunset Boulevard, and there's like these beautiful models walking up in their fucking heels looking all fly, and I look like a crackhead. And my hair was up in like a top knot. Yeah. And then like
I thought you looked nice.
And then I was like, you know what? Like, if I'm going to go in, I'm just going to like play the eccentric weird model. So I took my hair out of the bun and it was like a giant fro, like yes. A big blonde.
That's
fro.
What you had. Yeah, I remember.
And I like teased it up with my hands as much as I could. So it was like this giant blonde fro. And I just thought, I'll be that girl with this weird, crazy hair. It's like my only chance at like sticking out because these other girls look so perfect. So we go in, I go in and I'm sitting there, and then I come in and I basically had to walk back and forth for the director and the casting, and I just like gave them all this attitude and had this big crazy hair. And I just thought, whatever, I'll just commit and do it. And then that was it. And I went in and out. And I walked out and I was like, there you go, Steven. Well, I booked the commercial.
Yes!
I booked a national commercial, which is a big deal because that was, you know, literally like how I made my money. And like, not only do you get paid well on the day, you get residuals. So like every time the commercial airs on TV, like you get checks. So I've made thousands of dollars, thousands and thousands of dollars on certain commercials, like for years, because every time they air, you get paid. And yeah. So it was a big deal. Now that sounds all nice. Oh my gosh, you make so much money on commercials, but like, people typically only book a couple commercials a year.
And
so
how many do you go out for if you're...
Oh, and you go out like yeah. sometimes multiple times a day, but certainly multiple times a week.
I don't know how they do it.
An audition. And you'll probably book like a couple a year.
It's
like,
brutal.
But those couple will pay for your rent and your car and your food.
Yeah.
And then if you book an amazing one that turns into a big campaign, it will buy you a house and all of that. So I was to the point where it was buying my food and my rent. But anywho, so I booked the commercial, and that was on set that I met Portia. And she asked me, she turned to me and she said, hey, do you want to write a web series? And I was
That's right.
Huh? And she goes, yeah. She goes, the world of modeling is so funny. She goes, and there's like this shelf life. Like once you hit 25, it's done. And then these models don't know what to do or where to go. And she goes, but there's so much absurdity in the modeling fashion world. And maybe we could write a show about it. And although I was not in that world, I still thought it was a funny idea and one that hadn't really been tackled from a comedic angle.
Yeah.
So, but I was skeptical because I didn't really know this girl. Anyway, so I thought about it. We exchanged numbers. And then a couple weeks later, I had just left a pilot audition and was told that I didn't get it, that they offered it to like Mandy Moore or some shit. And I was like so frustrated that I wasn't booking the roles that I wanted. And I was just so mad and just felt like I spent so much of my life like auditioning for shit that I wasn't getting and creatively frustrated. So I call this girl on my way home from the audition and I was like, hey, Portia. Yeah. Hey, it's Laura from that Capital One commercial. Do you remember that idea you had about models? You want to come over tomorrow and write it? She was like, all right, I'll be there. So she came over and we wrote for like 8 hours. We wrote a whole treatment.
I remember that.
Remember in 2016?
Yeah.
We wrote a whole treatment, and then Portia turns to me, okay, and she says, hey, so I'm really good friends with Russell Simmons, and he has a YouTube channel, and he also loves models. Oh my God.
Seven years later.
Jesus Christ. Fuck. Hashtag me too. But not, no. But yeah, so she was like, and he loves models, so I can go in and pitch it to him. And I was like, all right, cool. She goes in, he's like, I love it. So he basically green lights it and gives us our first show. So for his YouTube channel. So funny because his YouTube channel just started and he had about 100,000 YouTube subscribers on the channel when we released that show.
Wow.
But the cool thing was is that I learned how to produce, and I was finally on the other side of the camera, and I was able to like bring people in for casting and write ideas and like see those ideas on screen and then get to see the reaction and the response. So when I did that, although I felt very frustrated because they didn't give me any control over the editing process and it wasn't a dream, it wasn't the way I wanted, I learned so much from it. And I also thought, I'm never going back to just being an actress again. I'm never going back. I'm now a creator.
So that was really the first time
that was done it. Yeah, that was, yeah, that was it. And that's thanks to Portia.
Yeah.
And then even like after that, I started connecting with creators from Russell's channel. And,
yes.
And that's how I met Jenna. And like,
yes,
because she was at an ADD.
That's right.
She was at the ADD. It was called All Duff Digital, their YouTube channel. She was at one of their launch parties for one of their shows.
And you were like, I love her.
And
on Instagram.
I loved her Instagram videos. Yes. And I was like, hey, like, I'm going to go introduce myself. And
that's
she
right.
And she liked me because she had seen Hungry.
Yes.
And so I was like, hey, I would love to shoot with you. And she was the one who really taught me how to shoot Instagram videos.
Yes.
But so yeah, that wow. was like, and that was like 2015.
What?
That was 2015. Hungry?
No.
No, 14?
2015 is when you started doing Instagram.
So 2014.
14, yeah. That was season 2. Was 2013, Hungry. I think was
the wow.
Yeah, it would have been 13 into 14.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It was like 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny because that was happening to you and you were doing that. And I just got that pony little studio in remote.
Yes.
They'd moved me from my big studio. They were like, oh, we got new studios. You can have a studio. It's a bit more money for rent. And it was horrible. It was so tiny. And I was like, what am I doing? Like,
wow.
Just stuck doing additional music on films that I'm never going to get any credit for. And
wow.
I'm not enjoying it. And all my ideas are getting watered down. Like every time I come up with something cool, it just gets watered down.
So I don't know if you guys know like fully Steven's story. I feel like we've told it, but
yes.
Basically Hans Zimmer, who's like the biggest composer in the fucking world, heard his music and asked him to make a long story short,
yeah.
asked him to move
yeah.
to Los Angeles.
Yeah, that is pretty much what happened.
And work for him
yeah.
and do additional music on these giant Hollywood films.
Yes.
So you're not going to say no to that.
No, no, it was great. And it got me a chance to move here and stuff. But ultimately,
and learn how to score.
Learn
like
how to score.
Big movies.
Yeah, it was great. But ultimately, it was quite a depressing atmosphere.
Right.
It's funny. I met a guy recently.
And you were like, what am I doing
yeah,
in the end? I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
Your own thing.
I wanted to be doing my own thing. And I ended up doing other people's things. And it was, you know, working very hard. And, you know, it was just like...
kind of thankless.
Factory. Kind yeah. of very much a factory. And it was, yeah, it was a bit pony at the end. Pony is Cockney rhyming slang. It means rubbish. So, yeah, I was in a bad place
yeah.
with my career. And you were... You just got hungry to go in, but that wasn't going so well. And we were both, and then I left remote, and then you didn't want to do another season of Hungry. So we moved house and we're like,
yeah.
What are we going to do now?
Yeah, we like moved into a house in the hills. And
yeah.
we were like, wait, how are we going to afford
exactly,
this again?
Exactly.
Like, you left remote and like,
that was a big leap of faith. We didn't have anything.
You left your salary.
I left my salary.
Because you knew.
It was depressing me.
It was, you felt that it was time
yeah.
and you, it was kind of making you go cray cray.
It was making me,
actually,
I mean,
you went cray.
I was just going to say.
You went so cray cray. One day you actually were banging your head
yes.
against the door.
Yeah.
Like totally
yeah.
like psycho style.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
boom, boom.
You had to call the police.
Boom. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did.
Because I was going, I've had enough.
Yeah.
I actually didn't want to live at one point. It
yeah.
was it was such a dark place.
Yeah, because they work you and work you and work
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
and
it
then
was
I
horrible.
Think, and then you know, pills and everything.
Yeah, well, that I also relapsed.
Well, because I'm not going to blame remote for that.
No, no, it's my choice. And a lot of people that work there don't. It was my
But
my
a lot
thing.
Of them do. They use the pills
yeah.
to get them through.
Yeah, but they're not addicts.
Right.
So they just take it when they need to or whatever.
But like they sleep at the studio. Yes. Like they don't leave.
A lot. I would say 70% of the people do sleep there.
Yeah, and their family lives are shit because they're not. Yeah. There's no balance or anything. So Steven and I really like went from, you know, me auditioning and doing other people's, you know, commercial TV, and Steven doing additional music on other people's films. And then we just kind of got together and formed this company, Idiots Inc., and just started creating and scoring and producing our own work and putting it online and owning it all. And that's made us more money than we made independently as a composer and an actress.
Definitely.
And it's been more importantly than making us more money, it's also been more creatively fulfilling.
Amazing. I get more creative fulfillment out of doing music for video that reaches millions of people that we totally control, that and it just brings joy to people. I love that. But it was, we had to go through a lot of fear and we had to take a giant leap of faith. And as James Altucher would say, trust yourself. Does he say trust yourself? We just had to trust ourselves that something was going to.
Yes. And that's a very hard thing to do.
It really is.
But it's so worth it.
And I struggle with it now, even. Like, I can look back and go, wait, that was a faith-based decision. It worked out. And yet today I could even be like, oh, I don't know. That, I need to control that. For it to
work. You get in fear and like, oh, or you say yes to even too many things because of the fear of not having enough. And but even we went to lunch with our friends today, and one of my friends is like unhappy in her job, and like she's so close to, you know, like leaving and trying to tackle doing something she loves, but there's just always something. And it's such a common thing to have that. And she's really close, I think, to doing that. But, but there's just, it's hard to leave the stability, obviously, because it's like you got a mortgage and you've got this, and to just up and walk away. Like, you walked away from your retainer.
I did.
Your monthly income. Yeah. That was really supporting both of us at the time.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of killing you inside.
Yeah, it was. Well,
and
it
you
was.
Were like, there's got to be another way.
I couldn't do it anymore. It made me so depressed and miserable. I couldn't carry on.
Right.
But I did think God wouldn't do this unless there was something else. This is so painful that there's got to be a reason. I remember thinking that. There's got to be a reason that, like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And I had no idea it was going to lead to this.
I think it's such a mindset thing. Like, if you believe that you're supposed to hate your job and like, oh, it's just...
I don't believe that.
Then you will. That'll be your reality. But if you believe that that it is possible to find something you love to do and find a way to do that every day and find a way to get paid for that it is possible.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, maybe that's totally crazy of me to believe.
No, I think it is possible. It's just, I think a lot of people, I don't know actually, but I would imagine that first year of not knowing what's next for us, that first year, that is scary. And I think if I hadn't had you with me, I wouldn't have been able to go through that.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that we were both jumping in together would help.
Yeah.
I think if you're doing it on your own, you'd have to be pretty brave to go through that initial period.
And it's not like being totally, like, totally insane and just like,
no.
All right, I'm gonna quit my job tomorrow and I'm going to be the, you know, fucking wrestler, pro wrestler. And like,
I was thinking of becoming. Yeah.
Right. But it's not like that. That's not what I'm saying, but it's like really dig deep and say, okay, ask yourself, like, what do I love to do? Like, what do I want to spend my days doing? Like, what is going to make me happy? And like writing that out and then figure, you know, and just seeing yourself somehow making a living off of that in some way, shape, or form. Like, that it is possible to do that.
It definitely is.
You think outside the box.
I was reading an article the other day about how they call this generation the gig-based generation. Like, they don't go in for full jobs now at 18 that last through to 65. That doesn't really exist anymore. People jump from freelance, freelance. Right. So the people we work with, they're all freelance.
Yeah.
And I think it is possible to get paid for doing what you love. And one thing also might be to get a lot of things you love, like maybe 5 or 6 things, yeah. so you can go between those things.
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
Like you could be a blog writer and a video person, or you could be a podcaster and something else. Or
and whatever. And so much work now is digital that go live somewhere cheap as fuck. Yeah,
definitely.
To start out.
Yeah. Well, we've said that if we weren't getting. If the money went away tomorrow, we could move to... You always say we could move to Ohio.
I do.
I've never been to Ohio.
I just assume that there are certain parts in Ohio that are really inexpensive. I just threw out any Midwestern state, but like...
Is that in the Midwest?
Yeah. And so... But I just say that. I don't know why I like the way it sounds. But like, you know what? If the money stops coming in, like we can get a one-bedroom apartment in Ohio.
Yeah.
And
it's true.
Pop out a baby and keep making our stupid videos and be able to, you know, survive and do what we love and be happy and be in love.
Absolutely.
And you know, because it's not really the material things. And that's another thing. It's like, because I love what I do so much, I was able to do it for free,
yes.
you know, for
that's a big thing.
Years. You know, and for the first couple of years of this transition was I didn't get paid for the videos that I did. I just did it because I loved it. Uh-huh. And then what happened from that consistency was it started turning into, you know, started becoming able to monetize.
Yeah.
And same with you in music. Like,
absolutely.
You love it so much that you just do it.
Oh, yeah. I do it like, when there's nothing to do.
You just fucking do it absolutely. All the time. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I always do. I'm always doing music, even if there's no point, no end result.
Yeah. But it's funny. It's funny the mentality around work and you know.
My sponsor said an amazing thing to me this week that I wanted to share with people. He said, "Do you run your business or does your business run you?"
Interesting.
It's like some people, their work runs them and they walk in a certain way and they're all under pressure, and some people they have good posture and they walk around because they're running their business. They're in control. Their business isn't in control of them. They're in control of their business. It's an interesting point.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier too about how so many creatives, because I've been talking to a couple of different influencers and that have you know, alcohol or substance abuse issues, and it's just so baffling to me how many creatives have addiction, have that addict personality. And we were talking about how that it's not all bad if you have that addict alcoholic personality or that addictive behavior, because you can tie it into work
and
that's
it, yeah.
you can channel it, and that's often why why you see so many successful creatives that have addiction problems. But it was just crazy to see like ones that are still in their disease, like still drinking and using, and then the ones that are sober, and just it was just an interesting conversation.
Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah,
because I see the potential in those who are still in it,
yeah,
but yet that addictive personality has led them to where they're at, because you know, you do it obsessively.
Yeah.
So addiction, I guess my fucking point is, because I'm like boring myself right now, but the point is, addiction doesn't always have to be bad. I guess you can channel your addictive obsessive personality into good things, like your work or yoga or avocados or you know.
Not in the evening though.
Yeah, Steven's weird. He doesn't like avocado at night.
I'll have it in the morning, but at night don't get it anywhere near
it's
me.
It's so weird. By the way, what time is it?
It is almost 10 p.m. It's the latest podcast we've ever recorded, guys. It's the first.
You said reported.
Reported. This is the latest you said reported. Podcast we've ever reported.
Isn't it so annoying when people say the word that you said.
Wrong. I love that video you made about that. I love that. It's one of my favorite videos.
Yeah, I did a sketch about that.
I like, love it.
Rather than just letting it slide, like clearly he misspoke. He meant to say recorded, but he said reported.
See if you can find that video, Ketchin. The Ketchin is
so
called.
Basically, oh, I always thought that was funny that why people feel so compelled to call you out for misspeaking. Like, we know it's a mistake, like just let it go, but nope, can't let it go. They gotta say, you said reported, you meant to say, but you said, and then there's just this like moment where you go, yeah, no, I know. And then it's like pause. Yeah, but you said reported, you didn't say recorded.
Do people do
you
that?
You said record. Is it just me that does? No,
it might just be you. Because no. I'm thinking, do I know anyone else?
There's a reason that I made the video. It's because people fucking do it.
Yes.
So I, like obnoxious people do it. So yes, I do it. But I mean, I do it to be obnoxious, but I do it also because it's obnoxious. That's why. So sorry, guys. I have like my nighttime tired voice on and I got a massage today. Thai massages are my jam. They're cheap and they're fucking amazing. And you just get beat. It's just fucking Thai girls beat the shit out of you. And I fucking love
but
it.
But we did see you.
They
like-
punch me and they step on me. And I'm just like, oh, it's so amazing.
But you did say once, oh, you got to meet my massage girl. She's amazing. And then we were driving to the massage place and you're like, oh, there she is. And this is woman. Yeah. She's got a cigarette hanging out her mouth. She's all right. Yeah. But in the American
I like the scrappy Thai voices.
I mean,
Steven's like, are you sure you're not going to get the skeebies in there?
Yeah, skeebies.
Steven thinks I'm going to get an STD just from going in there. Well, I don't think they're happy ending places.
They wash the sheets. Yeah, but still things
no,
can still live
heaven
in,
massage
right?
is class.
No, that's
okay?
not a
it's
weird
so
place.
It's so super classy.
No, that's, yeah.
$40 an hour, though. Yeah. Here's my advice to all of you. Never get a massage from a white person.
No, my God.
White people are the worst at massages.
That massage that I had in Downers Grove was the most ridiculous massage.
Actually, I got one white girl that was good, but
oh
other
my
than
God.
That,
actually,
you
know, some
garbage.
Of the really posh places.
It's all about Thai. No, they know what's up. They know the
Thai
art of it. Oh, they're just brilliant.
What about...
But wait, I was in the middle of it. What was I saying? I was saying I have like a very specific voice once I get a massage. It's like my voice just goes me. But what was I saying, babe? This is going to be so annoying.
You were saying that I had a massage and everyone, I love a massage and I've got my...
No, before that.
I could go and look on the machine.
No, just remember, we're capable. Guys, okay. What did I say?
Okay, they're shouting at the podcast now. Okay, so it was like, I just had a massage. Oh, what time is it? I said, it's 10 o'clock. This is the latest podcast we've ever done, guys. You was like,
oh,
reporting.
Yes.
Reporting.
Okay,
you
okay.
said reporting.
Okay. So then you said that was one of my favorite videos.
Yes.
So I was going to explain to them what the video was.
Oh, yeah.
So basically it was just, I was like, walking and my friends are sitting there and I'm walking into the house and I'm like, hey guys, do you guys need anything from the kitchen? They were like, what'd you say? And I was like, I'm in the kitchen. And they were like, you said kitchen. And I was like, I know, but I meant kitchen. But you said kitchen. I know, but I meant kitchen. You said Ketchin. Oh, Ketchin. And they just like went off and just started roasting me for saying Ketchin. And that was the video. I think this was when Instagram
was so
videos were
funny.
15
they were.
Seconds.
15 seconds.
So that's like a perfect 15 second idea. Because
it's like
boom. And then it ends on that roast.
But then it doesn't. Because then you're in the car and Kadir calls you up. And
yes. And then I cut to me in the car like
that's my favorite
days
bit.
Later. And like my friend Kadia calls me, hello. Remember when you said catching?
And then she laughed in a really funny way.
Yes. Yeah. That's right.
Actually one of my favorite videos of all time.
Yeah.
It really is. I love it. I was going to say perhaps Christina could put it in the show notes, but I don't even know how you'd find it at this point because it's only on Instagram.
I think it's on Facebook.
Is it?
Now. I don't know.
The Ketchin.
Well, guys, I promise. Remember, I keep saying that we're going to have guests. So I just did Grace Helbig's podcast last week.
That's really exciting.
Yeah. And she's so awesome. And like, I'm so happy because I hope we can be best friends now. And we're going to have coffee next week. But she's going to come and do our podcast.
Yeah.
So I think she's going to be our first guest, which is so
exciting. What a great first guest.
I know, right?
Wow, I better step up my game to make sure I don't fuck it up.
Pretty cool. Yes. It's pretty cool.
These are the friends that you have in school. Making fun of people every day is a way that we live our lives.
No, Maggie, my friend, childhood friend, and I used to make up songs, and Steven's trying to sing for those of you who are like, what's happening? But yeah, so Grace, we're going to get that together, guys, in the next couple of weeks, I promise. And then I think Christine Sadalko is going to be on after
Amazing.
That.
Amazing.
So you guys have a lot to look forward to.
Oh, Hannah Hart.
Hannah Hart as well.
We need to make that happen. She's great.
Yeah.
I love Hannah.
Yeah, we did a panel together she's cool. Fucking awesome, man. She's really cool.
Great merch. She's got great merch.
She's got great merch.
Her stuff looks cool.
Step on my merch game.
Yeah. She wears her merch all the time.
She does, yeah.
I wonder if she designs it herself.
I'm sure she has a team.
Yeah.
But guys, this was so fun, and we love you, and... yeah, thanks for tuning in every week, and go to iTunes and rate it 5 stars, or I'll come to your house and I'll fucking murder you and everyone you love.
Yeah. Woohoo! Yeah, guys, we haven't had a comment for a couple of weeks. What the fuck?
Steven, that was really aggressive.
I did it on purpose, though.
You're supposed to say, aggressive? You just said you were going to murder everyone and everyone you love.
Yes.
Wait, I have to just admit something really quick. I listened to Christine Sadelko's podcast today for the first time because she's going to come on as a guest. And on one of her episodes, she says, go rate me 5 stars or I'll come to your house and I'll murder you.
See, now so, you used to tell me off for saying that.
Wait, hold on. So what I'm saying is I'm owning up to the fact that I just said it because of Christine. So Christine, I'm giving you credit for that. And that was her thing, and it's not my thing. And it really made me laugh, which is why I said it. But
I remember a little of me. I used to be like, oh, at the end of our podcast, I used to be like, oh, give us 5 stars, even if you didn't like it. And you would go, oh, never say that, you bastard. But see?
I know, but she was funny the way she threatened to
murder
them.
Oh, and I wasn't funny the way I...
Yeah, because I liked how extreme she got.
Yeah,
like
that
she
is
was
funny.
Like, I'll come to your house and kill you. That's and funny. That just made me laugh.
Yeah, that is funny.
That she, because I wasn't expecting that at all.
I like it.
But so anyway.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Bye, everyone.
Have a really good night or morning or afternoon. And remember, don't do crack.
Absolutely don't do crack. Please just sing one song that you did with Maggie Kalaki when you were a kid to say goodbye.
All right, so my friend and I, when we were like kids, would make up songs.
I love this!
Met in third grade, brownie camp out, roasted marshmallows, crisp and crunchy. We were happy when we met. We played all day and night.
Oh,
we played all day and night. We played all day and night. And we try not to get in a fight. Because we were friends forever. Always will be friends. Friends forever. Always will be. Always will be. Always Whoa. Will be friends forever, girl. Quack diddlyosis. Quack, quack.
What? There's so much that I want to ask about that.
Don't,
so many
don't.
Things, but maybe another time.
Don't.
Just one. Crack diddlyosis?
Quack.
Quack. Okay.
Megan. You want to hear another one?
I want to know why. It's,
all right,
we were so
more.
Happy when we met. Like, what happened after that?
Yeah, we're miserable. Oh. All right, we're so cool. We're so cool. Making fun of other people.
Sorry. How do I know this song?
Oh, we're so cool. We're so cool. All we want to do is have fun. Making fun of other people's what we do. Oh, we're so cool. Oh, we're so cool. Look at all the people.
That's how Maggie talks now.
And stare. All we want to do is have fun. I'm making fun of other people. What we do. Oh, we're so cool. Oh, we're so cool.
But that, we weren't actually that bitchy. That was, we wrote a play.
Yeah, that sounds pretty
bitchy. No, we wrote a play, and those were characters in the play we wrote.
Right. Are we going to have Maggie as a guest? I thought we were going to have Maggie as a guest at one
hey
point.
Hey, guys. Maggie Kalacki here. No,
she would say no. She would she would decline. She would decline because she's very private.
She was the one person that was worried about your book the most of all of your friends.
There's like a fucking chapter about her. And I'm going to have to change her name because she's not going to approve it when I send it to her.
I think you have to get everyone to sign off, don't you? Remember, yeah. I saw a reality show where they had to go around to everyone to sign. Yeah. You have to do that.
Yeah. Well, you no, or you change the name. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm going to call her Gaggy Madaki.
Do you remember when you named your character, the I'm Uncomfortable Girl, Margaret Malacky? And then she just texted you, just a simple text. What did it say?
Really, Laura?
And then we named our cat.
And then, and then we named our actual fucking cat Maggie Kalacki. We didn't even change the name at all. We just named it Maggie Kalacki. And she texts again.
Really, Laura? That's a bit weird that you name your cat after me.
And then my dad was so mad. He was like, cats don't have last names.
He was upset about that.
Yeah.
He didn't like
so
that.
I was like, our cat's name is Maggie Kalacki. He's like, cats don't have last names. I was like, why are you so upset that our cat has a last name? Because cats don't have last names.
He was really upset about it.
Well, Dad, our cat has a last name. It's Maggie Kalacki. Cat, no, la, 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 get, cats don't have last names. Cats don't have last names. Get, la, 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 cats don't have last names.
I've seen him do, we never talked about that, but I have seen him do that.
He covers his ears and goes, get. Or if, like, ever I was growing up and, like, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to get my period. He'd be like, get. Don't want to know. Don't want to know. Cats don't have last names.
Oh, I'm hurting now from all that laughter. That was a nice little bit at the end for laughing.
Yeah, guys. Love you guys. Until next time.